Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And I tested very positively in another sense. So negative. This morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? So, no, I tested perfectly this morning. Meaning I tested negative.
This Ben Jarofsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
Bonus time in the Ben Jarofsky Show as I speak. It's Friday, October 16th, 2020. But of course, it could be any time because it's bonus time and it's a podcast. You could be listening in the year 2042, for all I know, in which case, welcome to the show. I'm going to read you the headline. This is what was in the news on this day, October 16, 2020. And this is apropos to the conversation we're about to have. I know Dennis loves it when I use big words like apropos. Battle over water as drought parches both U.S. and Mexico. Battle over water. It's coming down to that, folks. There's no water. Good God. With that, I will now ask my distinguished guest to introduce himself. Go ahead, distinguished guest.
Is this on? Can anybody, is this, wait, what year are we in? Is this 2042? I have no idea. Oh, wait, are you hunkered down in a little attic with the train going by? And is Denny there? Denny's not even there. He doesn't get to polish your shoes anymore when you do the show.
Oh, yeah, that was the other way around.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah, you were polishing his shoes. Yeah. Hey, Ben Jarofsky, it's Mike Novak from The Mike Novak Show with Peggy Malecki. And guess what? Just like you, just like my hero, Ben Jarofsky, yeah. I have eschewed what we call terrestrial radio in favor of the intertubes. And now I've moved my show from the station I was at, which I haven't even come up with a clever nickname for them like I did with Gargantua Radio and Progresso Radio. So I have to come up with a clever nickname. But now I'm strictly streaming, but still Sunday mornings and still live, which Denny and you know this, Ben, there's something really cool about being live. There's an energy you get from doing that. So I still enjoy doing the show live, but you can catch it streaming on Facebook. And I call it now FaceTubes. So you can get it on FaceTubes and uBlock. And actually I should just say Facebook and YouTube so that people actually know where they're going. Or you can watch the live stream on my show or my website, rather, MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. And then, like you said, those videos stay up there in perpetuity. So in the year 2525, if man is still alive, you will be able to watch it.
Mike Novak, you're the only other person aside from me who has made reference to that song. And when I do that, all the millennials are like, what the fuck? What is going on? In the year 2525. Mike Novak, I have known Mike Novak since the 1970s, since we were two young men. And Mike Novak was a legendary softball player. and the reason I mention this is because somebody alluded to that yesterday. I was interviewing a young Dave Glowatz, who you may or may not know, but is a he covers City Hall, and he was on the show yesterday. We were talking about the mayor and her battles with the alderman, et cetera, and so forth. And somehow your name came up, and he goes, oh, yeah, great softball player. So how about that?
Wow.
The reputation exists, yes.
Wow. Now, is he talking about 12-inch or 16-inch? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Come on. You're asking for details I don't have. All right, let's get down to business. Mike Novak, yes, he hosts his own show. He's an expert on many things, gardening and the environment. And we promoted you all day talking about how you're going to come on the show and talk about the environment, something you care tremendously about. Although I have a feeling we're also going to talk about some movies. Mike Novak is also an actor and a playwright. So he's sort of like a Renaissance man. But I want to begin, Mike, by playing an excerpt. I have a couple excerpts. I'm going to show the world how good Dennis is as a producer. We're going to play a couple excerpts. The first one is Kamala Harris. I'm going to look at my, yes, Kamala Harris interrogating, and I put that in quotes, Amy Coney Barrett, because it gets to the issue of climate. And then the second one is Mike Pence on an environment from the debate. But let's start, Dennis, with Kamala's comments to Amy Coney Barrett.
My question, however, is do you agree with Chief Justice Roberts, who said voting discrimination still exists? No one doubts that. Do you agree with that statement?
Senator Harris, I will not comment on what any justice said in opinion, whether an opinion is right or wrong, or endorse that proposition.
Well, I'm asking you, do you call it a proposition or a fact? Are you saying you do not agree with a fact?
Senator, I'm not going to make a comment. I'm not going to say that I endorse either the majority or the dissent in the case of Shelby County.
Well, I just want to understand, are you saying that you will, you refuse to dispute a known fact, or that you refuse to agree with a known fact?
Senator, I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at with asking me to endorse the fact or whether any particular practice constitutes voter discrimination. I'm very happy to say that I think racial discrimination still exists in the United States, and I think we've seen evidence of that this summer.
And do you accept that COVID-19 is infectious?
I think, yes, I do accept that COVID-19 is infectious. That's something of which I feel like, you know, we could say you take judicial notice of. It's an obvious fact, yes.
Do you accept that smoking causes cancer?
I'm not sure exactly where you're going with this, but, you know, the notice
it's,
that smoking
it's just a
causes...
Question. The question is what it is. You can answer it if you believe. Yes or no?
Senator Harris, yes, every package of cigarettes warns that smoking causes cancer.
And do you believe that climate change is happening and it's threatening the air we breathe and the water we drink?
Senator, again, I was wondering where you were going with that. You have asked me a series of questions like that are completely uncontroversial, like whether COVID-19 is infectious, whether smoking causes cancer, and then trying to analogize that to eliciting an opinion on me that is a very contentious matter, opinion from me that is on a very contentious matter of public debate, and I will not do that. I will not express a view on a matter of public policy, especially one that is politically controversial, because that's inconsistent with the judicial role, as I have explained.
Okay, thank you, Judge Barrett, and you've made your point clear that you believe it's a debatable point.
All right, very good, Mike. That every time I hear that, it irritates me even more. We kept the first part in. We're not going to discuss that having to do with discrimination, suppression of the vote. But I just want people to hear that because that's a very compelling issue. But Mike, just think about this. So she asked Kamala Harris, set her up with a series with those two questions. Do you believe that smoking causes cancer? She's like, oh, of course. Do you believe that COVID is infectious? Oh, it's obvious, by the way, even though Mike Novak, she didn't wear a mask at her reception that Trump threw for her at the White House. And then, boom, well, what about climate change? And did you see, how about that response? Suddenly that's controversial, very contentious matter of public debate. It's unfair of you to ask me your opinion. That irritates the hell out of me, Mike Novak. What's your response?
Well, I'm taking a couple of antacids right now just to get through it. Oh, it's look, Ben, the whole thing has been and I'm wondering if any of your guests in the past several days have used the words dog and pony show or kabuki theater because they both sort of apply to this. She's not going to say anything that is going to be thrown back at her in the future. She's not going to say anything at all. I couldn't watch most of it. Okay. We've seen this before. We've seen this movie before. And she can call climate change controversial. It's controversial because there are certain people who don't think that we're witnessing climate change. That is a fact. There are many people who think we are in the middle of climate change. In fact, there are people, and I've interviewed some of them on my own show. I think Denny might have been around for one of them. Guy McPherson, who's a professor emeritus at University of Arizona, who thinks we're in the end times. This is end game. So he's way over on that side. That is like we passed the point of no return. And then there are people who are in the middle who say, well, you know, if we can fix things, if we can do something, we can actually change the course of human history and the planet and maybe save ourselves. And then there are the people who are just the deniers. We don't know where she stands because she says it's controversial. So we have no idea how she's going to rule on whatever case comes up regarding climate change. I suspect it's not going to be a good ruling, people will suffer because of it. So, gosh, that whole, I'm with you. The whole thing was just so annoying. And what's worse about it, of course, is that the process itself is completely corrupt. This should never have happened. It's just and everybody knows, a mad power grab on the part of Republicans who know they're going to get punched in the face on November 3rd. And so this is the last gasp of a dying party, they're going to get away with it. They get away with everything.
They're going to get away with filling Ruth Bader Ginsburg's vacancy. That's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, they're going to get away with it. It's just the way, unless something else happens along the way. I mean, I can't completely predict. I think they'll get away with it. And then if they do it before the election, I think they're going to get their sorry butts kicked out of office because of it. A lot of them will. It's disgusting is what it is. To watch this after, you know, it's a post I'm been mulling around in my head. It's okay. So this will make what, 3 illegitimate Supreme Court members. So when do we get to the point where we are a completely illegitimate court? We're well on our way to a court that people have no respect for, except the ones who have issues ruled in their favor.
Yeah. Well, let's first of all, a couple of things I just always love pointing out at that first, the outset, where she wasn't talking about the environment, but Kamala Harris was asking her about voter suppression and whether racism still exists. And in sort of a
that kind of surprised me, actually, that she said it.
Yeah,
that was a response that really did surprise me.
Well, it's in her very condescending way. She said, I'm very happy to say that racial discrimination exists. What are you happy about? Like, why are you happy about that? The point is, she was, I'm happy to concede that you're right, you know, on that point. But it's interesting, you know, when I remember the fight over getting the cigarette manufacturers to concede that their product caused danger, caused cancer. And so Amy Coney Barrett is very condescendingly saying, of course cigarettes cause cancer. And we all know that. Well, no. That was resisted for a long, long time. They didn't just put those warnings on the cigarette packages, Mike Novak, without a fight. And it's very similar. There's a parallel to the fight that's going on about climate change right now, where just like the cigarette manufacturers denied that there were health hazards to their product, people who are polluting the water and the skies and the land, etc., deny it, and they have people in power like Donald Trump who deny it, and you got people like Amy Coney Barrett who are too afraid to take a stand.
Yeah, and you know, you've been around long enough to know that automobile manufacturers fought against seatbelts for years. Then they fought against airbags for years. And now we've got the oil companies, and as you mentioned, the cigarette companies fought. And by the way, I did not get anything out of that settlement. When it was, remember the checks that all the folks were supposed to get because of that settlement?
Yeah.
I was a renter, not a homeowner. And renters got screwed out of checks for that. So I do remember when that was settled. But now we have the oil companies who are just doing the same thing. It's the same playbook, which is deny, obfuscate, lie, and keep people from understanding the damage they've done, even though records going back 30 years, sometimes 40 years, show that the fossil fuel industry knew that we were going to get into trouble with too much carbon in our atmosphere. They knew this, and they hid it. Just like the cigarette manufacturers knew that smoking caused cancer and other problems. They knew it, and they hid it. Just like the automobile manufacturers knew that people needed to be protected from themselves by wearing seatbelts and having airbags. They knew it, and they hid it. This is the way big business and rampant capitalism operate. And when I say rampant capitalism, I mean capitalism is not inherently a bad thing, but it's inherent when there are no checks and balances to it, when there are no controls. And this is the way we run our country, is that we prefer to have our big businesses with no controls on them at all, because the Dow average goes up. Doesn't mean anything to the average person who's suffering. I mean, you want to know what makes me angry? Is turning on a news channel and looking in the corner and seeing the ticker and the Dow is up 400 points and people are losing their jobs hand over fist. What do we have, another 1.3 million unemployment claims yesterday or this morning? I'm not sure when it was. But that's Main Street, folks. And they talk about Main Street and Wall Street, and it's true. There's no connection between the two right now.
Mike, before we go to Mike Pence, and Dennis will play the Mike Pence thing, got to ask you this. Amy Coney Barrett, who is, by the way, will be sitting on the Supreme Court, in almost all likelihood, the Republicans have the votes for her, said climate change is controversial. It's so bizarre. It's like, as long as she can't comment on it because it's controversial. That just shows you how low we've descended as a society, that a Supreme Court judge, if there's two schools of thoughts, you can't even wade in because it's controversial. So I'm not going to record. But here's my question. Is it a remotely the same number of experts on each side of this question, or is it like 98% of all credible scientists think climate change is real, and I don't know, 2% of quacks say it's not? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how is it controversial if one side has almost all the experts testifying that it's for real? Help me out with that one, Mike Novak.
Well, I believe it is 97% is the actual figure of scientists who believe that there is some sort of man-made, or human-made, we should say, human-made climate change going on the planet. And the problem is that we have politicians that are completely enthralled by the big business, the fossil fuel industry, and they continue to get elected. So to some degree, you have to look at the people who are voting for them and say, these people don't believe that our planet is in danger. I played golf a couple of years ago with a guy who I got teamed up. I was in this tournament and I got teamed up with a guy, and he was a really nice guy. We finished the round, and somehow topic turned to climate change, and he said, oh, it's not happening. And I said, it's not? And he said, no, the Earth's too big. We can't have any effect on that. and I think this is what a lot of people think, because they're the same people who say it's, you know, when it's 20 degrees outside, where's your climate warming now?
Yeah, I know.
It's that, you know, it's James Inhofe going into the Senate with a snowball. See, there is no climate. There's no global warming.
Yeah.
It's that. And anybody who knows anything at all about science will tell you that's anecdotal. That's in front of you. That doesn't represent what the planet is going through at all. You can't tell me that if we continue to burn down the Amazon rainforest that we're going to be just fine. Well, you can't tell me that if we continue to pull oil out of the tundra and on the Alaskan slope that we're going to be fine, that there's not going to be. I mean, that tundra is already, the permafrost is melting. It's going to be a matter of years before there's no summer ice in the Arctic Ocean. We're seeing weird stuff. We're seeing fires in Siberia because of the melting, and it's just the world is already telling us. The Earth is already telling us that it's in trouble. Wildfires in California, for which I see the Trump administration today decided that it wasn't going to give money to help fix. And of course, his argument is that it's lack of forest management. Yeah, sure. You know, so is the drought, huh? You know, and all the, it's been a, you mentioned earlier in the conversation about drought, and we've had a pretty nasty drought, not just in California, but through Nevada and Colorado and Utah. My meteorologist on my show, Rick DeMaio, sends me maps, and it's and even into Iowa, even you know, before the derecho came through, which in some people argue that was related to climate change. Parts of the state, just they couldn't get a corn crop growing at all because this incredible drought. Now, so is some of this natural? Are these some of these natural cycles? Probably, but a lot of it isn't. When you go to California, I was reading this morning that I believe California spent, I don't have the number in front of me, so I don't want to say a number that is not true, but the idea was up 4 years ago, California spent so much each year on fire control, and it was pretty much the same number, and that's gone up multiple fold in just 4 years, and it has each of the 4 years. Now, is that just a short-term trend, or is it something else going on? The fact that the facts tell us that we have pumped way too much carbon dioxide into our atmosphere, and we're way over 400 parts per million now. What do we do with that fact? What do we do with out-of-control fires in Australia? We sure forgot that in a hurry because it happened just before the pandemic. And it sort of put that, you know, we've moved on. We're done with wiping out the koala population and other animal species down there in Australia. Now we got COVID to deal with, which is also, as you know, probably caused by our lack of respect for our boundaries with nature. Our interactions are too close with, you know, there's the interface is much more severe than it has been in the past. And I think Mother Nature is sending us a shot across the bow with the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, obviously it's a lot more of it's a lot less controversial than Amy Coney Barrett would have you believe. All right, now we're going to play Mike Pence. This is from his debate with Kamala Harris. This is Mike Pence on what a great job the Trump administration has done in regards to the environment. Do you play the Mike Pence one?
President Pence, do you believe that climate change poses an existential threat?
As I said, Susan, the climate is changing. We'll follow the science. Look, the American people have always cherished our environment. We'll continue to cherish it. We've made great progress reducing CO2 emissions through American innovation and the development of natural gas through fracking. We don't need a massive $2 trillion Green New Deal that would impose all new mandates on American businesses and American families.
Thank you.
Joe Biden wants us
Thank
to retrofit
Pence.
4 million
Thank
American business
Pence.
Buildings. It
Thank
makes
you,
no
Vice
sense.
President.
It will
Thank
cost
you.
Jobs. President Trump
Thank
is
you.
Going
Thank
to
you,
put
Vice
America
Pence.
First.
Thank
He's
you.
Going to put jobs first.
Thank
and
you.
We're going to take care of our environment and follow the science.
Thank
Oh, my God. He's bringing
Thank
back
you.
Nightmares. Thank you, Mr. President. Just Thank tell you. Us, shut up.
Thank you, Mr. Jourovsky, please. Mr. Jourovsky, I am speaking. Mr. Jourovsky, please. I'm speaking. Yeah. It's.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much to say. They're defending the planet by opening up our natural areas to oil and gas exploitation, and I'm hoping that on January 20th of 2021, one of the first acts of the Biden administration is to revoke those licenses and just say no, you can't have bear's ears in Utah. You can't have those spaces. They're putting not only just the natural areas in jeopardy, but artifacts, archaeological areas, just on and on and on. And as it's kind of funny about the Green New Deal, I was reading today on Grist, and it's a wonderful website. Are you familiar with Grist?
Only when you talk about it. I don't. You talked about it a couple other times, I think. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I have grist.org, GRIST.org, and they're an environmental website. And their point, which was very interesting, was that the Green New Deal, in spite of all of the mockery from the Republicans, has become pretty much entrenched in Americans' thinking. Most Americans are in favor of the Green New Deal. And the other point you need to keep in mind is that the Green New Deal is not really policy right now. It's not even a blueprint. It's kind of a rough idea that we should marry clean energy to social justice. Mm-hmm. And who would be against that? There's no real new Green Deal on paper. It's basically been talk for about a year and a half about what the possibilities are of reducing our carbon emissions and having more clean energy, clean sources of energy in our country. And guess what? The American people think that's a good idea. So Republicans have started to back off on that. And it's kind of interesting because usually they control the narrative. They send out something out there and everybody's suddenly talking about it and it runs roughshod over often the truth. But in this case, AOC puts out Green New Deal and some of her friends, and it grabs hold of the public consciousness. And isn't that an interesting change of fate here?
Well, all right, look, one thing I did notice is that in the presidential debate, the only one we've had, in the vice presidential debate, neither Biden in the presidential or Harris in the vice presidential jumped on a defense of the Green New Deal. And so my sense of it is the Green New Deal is a slogan. And it has a triggering impact, Mike, on both sides. So lefties like myself get excited and right wingers get scared. For lefties like me, it's progress. For right wingers, it's the first step toward communism. And then there's a great middle that doesn't really know what to make of it. And so the challenge for Biden and Harris, if they are successful and get elected, is to implement the programs of the Green New Deal in the face of what will probably be strong resistance from Republicans. Because if you saw, that's the first thing Pence did. He was asked a question. Does he think climate change is an existential threat? And he says, we follow the science, which of course they don't. And then we just got finished talking, Mike, about how 97% of the scientists say it's real, and they're following the 3% that say it's not real.
Yeah.
Okay. He says we follow the science, and then he uses the Green New Deal to hammer at her. And Kamala Harris.
But it doesn't work. But Ben, I'm telling you, that's not working. And that's the point I was making, is that studies and polls show that the American people are by and large in favor of the Green New Deal. And as I said before, and you alluded to as well, right now it's just an idea.
Yeah.
So it's not, there's nothing on paper that's concrete. And so Joe Biden can get away with saying, well, it's not, I don't know if you saw, he says, it's not the Green New Deal, it's my New Deal.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me, because he's going to do a lot better than the guy that's in there now. And Kamala, of course, was a proponent of the Green New Deal. So there's going to be some tension. And we got to remember that if this happens in the right way, and I don't have to, jump off my house on November 4th, that we're going to have a president who actually listens to people, who gets people in a room. You know, you don't run the government by yourself. You don't run the government on a whim. Oh, wait, except for the guy who's in there now. You know, anybody else gets a team together. And that's the other thing, which is really terrifying, is that Biden's going to have to reconstruct the EPA, reconstruct the Interior Department, Justice Department, reconstruct every department, the CDC, which has been completely I won't say gutted. I will say it has lost its reputation in a matter of months. It used to be the gold standard for the world. Now it's an embarrassment. And now he's got to rebuild all of these organizations. Who's going to step in at this point? I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to. But there's a lot of work to do just to get us back to zero so that we can actually move forward.
When you watch the debate on fracking, or when you hear the debate on fracking, what's your response to that, Mike?
I have to admit that, I was having dinner, and Joe Biden talked about how, you know, he wants fracking to go forward in Pennsylvania, and I had to take the fork and stick it in my thigh, because otherwise I was going to get out of control. And there's a lot of us out there who sort of gritted our teeth and said, well, you know, he's trying to win Pennsylvania. And that's what that was. That's his strategy to win Pennsylvania. And he might actually believe that fracking has a part in our energy future. Ultimately, it will go away. We hope, as will all the other fossil fuel sources. He could be, he's not going to be Mario Cuomo. I'm sorry, Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. Andrew Cuomo and Bennett. But maybe there's a middle ground, like Illinois, which a few years ago set up what was called at the time the strictest fracking regulations in the nation. And the idea being that, okay, if you're going to do this, you've got to follow the rules. It's not the Wild West out there and just, you know, sticking pipes in the ground and blasting it high pressure sand and chemicals and contaminating our water supply. So while we do have fracking, and I am the first to say it's not going to go away immediately, especially if Joe Biden is saying he's for it, I'm not a fan. And I don't want it to happen. And I'm hoping that, again, those other people in the room with him when he's making these decisions say, you know, we can go a different direction here. But first, he's got to get Pennsylvania in the win column. And I understand that. Yeah. I really do.
Well, that was the point, a larger point I was making. When you're having a discussion about the environment, it's really hard to do in the context of a presidential election when a crucial state, you're right, that whole fracking response is all about Pennsylvania. And so Pence will counter with Green New Deal and, you know, you're against fracking. And you watch the Democrats retreat, knowing full well that you're hoping that it's just a tactical retreat. And in reality, they have larger plans. I would say this, the Green New Deal is also about offering an alternative to things like fracking, because the reason why the Green New Deal marries job growth with environmental regulations, Mike, and you know this, is because if people lose their jobs because industries are controlled, then you say, no, well, here's the alternative. We're going to give create green friendly jobs as well. So that's sort of the philosophy behind the Green New Deal.
And yeah, and I can't, we can't ignore the fact that it's also, there's a social justice component to the Green New Deal, because let's look at our, at Chicago and our own South Side. They're going to move General Iron to the South Side because the very rich people of Lakeview don't want it in their neighborhood, but that's okay. We can take it to the 10th Ward and dump it off there and let, you know, those people who already have their fair share of industrial abuse over 100 years. I can't believe that that's happening and that the city is allowing that to happen. Just like are you familiar with the Army Corps of Engineers that wants to expand a landfill right at the Calumet mouth and on Lake Michigan. Hey, with rising waters, what could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah, by the way, and it's the same general area where they're going to move General Irons. They're moving from actually Lincoln Park, that's where it is right now, to the far south side.
Yeah, Lincoln Park, Lakeview, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, really. It's all the same thing. All right, we're going to close it down by switching gears for a moment. Tonight, Friday, again, we're taping this, recording this on October 16th. Netflix drops the Chicago 7 movie, Aaron Sorkin's movie about the Chicago 7 trial of 1969. And of course, we'll eagerly watching it. We'll be talking about it in the days to come. Mike Novak told me something right before we went on the air, that he in his was in the play, the Chicago 7 play. Talk a little bit about that, Mike, the Chicago 7 play.
It was back in like 91 or 92. It was called the Chicago Conspiracy Trial. And this is back when I was still acting. And some people think I still am. And boom, boom. And it was done by a company called Remains Theater. And it was a representation of the Chicago 7 trial. And, of course, they used mostly the language from the trial itself, which you grew up in Chicago. I didn't get to Chicago till 78. So I even missed Richie Daley Sr. So I knew that the Chicago 7, I knew a little bit about it from a distance in Detroit. But I stepped into a role, the play ran for months, and I got asked to audition after the play was already up and running. And I ended up playing Lee Weiner, one of the Chicago 7. But as it happened, the guy who was playing William Kunstler was leaving the role, and they needed an understudy, and I stepped in and got to play William Kunstler a couple of times for a couple of performances, which is just an amazing role. If you have ever read the transcripts of that, and I'm kind of interested how this new version of it will work and how it will portray what went on. But I'm telling you, that was Chicago in the late 60s. There was nothing like it in the world. And I don't know, what's your feeling about it? I mean, what do you remember this well, Ben, and what was your response at the time? I know you were just a youngster, but
yeah, I was a youngster. I didn't live in Chicago. I didn't move to Chicago until 1981, but in 1969,
oh, okay.
In 1969, I was a very young and impressionable young scholar at Evanston High School. I was living in Evanston, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I was the kind of kid that obsessively followed sports and news, even when I was in junior high and high school. And I obsessively followed the Chicago 7 trial. I didn't quite know what to think. On one hand, Mike, I despised the federal government. I was against them. I come from a very liberal family. My parents could not stand Richard Nixon. But on the other hand, the hippies and the yippies kind of scared me. You know what I mean? They were so contemptuous of all norms and so defiant and so disrespectful to the judge. Hoffman, it kind of scared me. So I was obsessively following it. I can't tell you that I was rooting for the hippies because they kind of freaked me out a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? So when I read the transcript, which came out in book form, I still have a copy of that paperback book. I purchased it, which was the basis for the play you're in. Then I began to realize how much of a contrivance the entire case against the hippies and the yippies was, and how it was overreached by the federal government. So after the fact, I began to appreciate the stand they took. And Abbie Hoffman eventually became a big hero of mine, and I was really upset when he died. Committed suicide in the 1980s. So,
but he, before he died, and I have to mention this, he kind of, you know, he started leaning right. You know, he got out of that, that leftist, mode, and he became,
you're mixing him up with someone. I got to cut you off. You're mixing him up with someone else. Abbie Hoffman was waving his freak flag to the day he died.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely. Abbie Hoffman was an environmental activist when he was underground. He out of desperation and stupidity, he was selling drugs. He got caught. The feds were throwing a book at him. He didn't want to go to Attica. He didn't want to go to prison. He went underground. He became Barry Freed. He was living off the land as an environment. Even when he was underground and living under a assumed that he was like an upstate New York battling for environmental rights. And throughout the 80s. Oh, my God. I remember when Amy Carter, the president's daughter, got caught up in an anti-protest movement. Abbie Hoffman was a supporter of her. Abbie Hoffman was in the movie, the Oliver Stone movie
JFK?
No, not JFK, for Ron Kovacs. So Born on the 4th of July. So yeah, no, Abbie Hoffman, I don't know which one. There's so many, there are some anti-war lefties who sold out and went to the other side, but it definitely, the great Abbie Hoffman was not one of them.
I will do my research, and you're probably right, because he was a hero to you. The whole thing was, and of course you have to remember Judge Julius Hoffman, who was completely out of control himself. So we had this combination of these, a crazy judge and these seven defendants who were interested in turning it into a circus, and they succeeded.
Yes.
They absolutely succeeded.
We'll see how the movie shows them. Mike Novak, before you go, one more time, tell folks all about your podcast, where they can find it, et cetera, and so forth.
You can go to mikenowak.net, MikeNowak, and I have to spell it out because, you know, everybody will spell it Novak, and then what I need to do is purchase that URL so it directs them to there, but I'm too lazy to do that. We are still broadcasting. I guess streaming is considered broadcasting. Streaming live Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. And we've got some fun stuff coming up. You know, we're we now that we're off of terrestrial radio, we're going to try some new stuff. You know, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And we stream live on Facebook and on YouTube. Go to the Mike Novak Show on both. And you can find our show. And of course, the videos stay up there forever. And there's a podcast, which is available everywhere on Apple Podcasts and TuneIn and Stitcher and Spotify and all the places. Yeah, all the places that they can get your show. So I'll tell you, Ben, I appreciate it. The opportunity, as always.
Yeah, you're going to discover, Mike, that podcasting is a lot of fun. You can swear and do all kinds of things.
You know, I can't get out of the habit. I've been doing radio for 23 years, and I don't even like to say damn on my show, okay, because I think that's kind of strong. So at some point, maybe I will get used to it, but you're right. And I don't have to bleep out people if they do say something like that.
Yeah. By the way, Dennis was like that too. Dennis, his whole life has been in radio. And just the other day, young Dennis swore. And I was stunned myself. I didn't bat an eye, though, because you just got to roll with the punches. Anyway, Mike Novak, thank you very much. And stay healthy, sane, and sound. And we'll talk to you real soon, all right?
I'll tell you what. Wear a mask. Damn it. One of the things I have to tell you before we go, because, I do a lot of different things. And one of the weird things I do is I'm in a caroling group. And the COVID is killing entertainment, as you know. It's killing live theater. It's killing movies. It's killing even four people getting together to sing Christmas carols, because one of the most dangerous things you can do during this pandemic is sing, because you're expelling all these droplets. And so honest to God, you just can't, you certainly can't do it indoors. And even outdoors, even if the audience is 50 feet away, you're endangering yourself and your fellow singers if they haven't been checked. I was reading today in the Tribune, and I know this firsthand, that Santa is taking a hit in the COVID year. Where they're going to have kids behind plexiglass and Santa up a great distance away, if you know they do it at all. I've got friends who play Santa because I hire them out, and I have one guy who's lost 27 gigs already this season that he normally has each year. So those entertainers are taking a hit because it's just so dangerous. And as we head into the fall, I just wanted to remind people, and I'm sure you've talked about this on the show, the numbers are going up. That's, you know, it's scary. Illinois and the Midwest, actually the Midwest is the new hotspot again. And we're going to continue to see this until we can get this under control. And we cannot get this under control with the guy in the White House right now. It is not going to happen. Yes, it's not going to happen. And so that's why you need to get out and vote on November 3rd. And I wanted, you know, for the sake of Santa Claus, get out and vote.
No, we'll close it where we began it. We cannot get out of this with the guy we have in control. And Exhibit A is his Supreme Court nominee smirking at Kamala Harris as she says, of course, COVID is infectious, even though at her reception at the White House, very few people wore masks and everybody was sitting on top of everyone else. We'll leave it at that. Mike Novak, stay safe and sound. Talk to you soon.
You bet.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.